reading out of Luke 12, verse 54 to 13, 21. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain,' and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. All those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig round it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days of work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." This is the word of God.
I'll try and shorten the sermon by about 40 minutes. So if you will look at your service sheet, the music service sheet, the last four lines that you've just repeated is basically what I want to say. "For every day I have on earth is given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is that I may give my life and my all and love and follow him." You got it? Thank you for being here this week. That really is the heart of what this section is all about. If you read it carefully, I'm not going to do it all over again, you will note that there's quite a number of little passages, and that all has got to do with timing. You know the time when the south wind blows, you know this is going to happen, you know this. So how don't you understand? Here's the major question that comes in line 56, the last couple. How is it that you do not know to interpret this present time? So the entire section is all about time. Time is of the essence in life. To hit a golf ball, well, your timing must be right. To hit a good tennis shot, your timing must be right. To be at your peak of your performance for a rugby game, your timing must be right. You must peak at the right time for the tournament. Everything has got to do with timing, isn't it? Timing is very, very important. To run a business, you need to pitch it at the right time. Have the specials at the right time of the year so that you can actually find a lot of people prepared to go and give their money to you because if you're selling them something at the right time. Timing is of the essence in everything in life. Very important thing. It's the right time to talk to your spouse about that very difficult conversation, isn't it? Which is what you all get wrong. That's why you're having fights in your marriages. You get the timing wrong, isn't it? When you're tired and you're zonked out, that's when my wife wants to tinker on the little unimportant things. Timing. Do not awaken love before it's time, says the scriptures even. Timing is very important. And Jesus says, the timing that you are now faced with me being here as the Messiah, is of the uttermost importance of anything else that you will do. There's a time for every activity under the sun, but there's a time over everything that is absolutely essential and needed. And that is the time that in all the activities of life, you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you learn to worship God in all the activities of life. That's really what he's saying. Amazing stuff. Lots of interesting little things that he's getting into detail. And he's speaking to a very historical context. So he's speaking to the crowd. If you notice in verse 54, he's speaking to mostly Jewish people. And he's saying to them, you can all judge the time right when it suits you. And we all can do that. I can speak in time when I feel the urge to speak. The other people may suffer greatly, but at least I use the time to say what I wanted to say. So we can all judge time right when it suits us. And Jesus says, that's why you are hypocrites, because you are not judging this time right. You can. You have the ability to judge and to know what the right timing is, but you're not applying it to the most important thing, and that is, what will you do with me today? That's really what he's talking about. All right? So that's the overall structure. I'm not going to get into all the details. So the outline there should take you through it all. Now, what's the time now for? Why are you here now? What's the now all about, in one sense? That's really what Jesus is highlighting. And I've asked the question, what is the time now for? And in this case, Jesus says, the time now for you is to learn to make the right assessments about life. You are on a journey to your judgment. That's where you are now. You need to understand, remember he introduced it for us last week in verse 49, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. The time now is for you to know that fire will come, and there will be judgment. And Jesus Christ has come to judge the world ultimately. But now is the time for you to realize it will be ultimately judged. Do you understand how it works? He's not judging it now ultimately. He's now giving you the opportunity to recognize it will be ultimately judged. Now is the time to realize that there will be a judgment. And therefore, the best thing you can do with your time now as you wait for that judgment is to reconcile with the person that you have offended. And in this case, it's God himself. See what he's saying? So if you know that you are going to go to court and that you're going to go there, then try and settle the matter before you get to court. That's really what he's saying. It's coming. The judgment is coming. And how you prepare yourself comes in chapter 13, verse 1 to 5, with those two terrible situations that happened where, Pilate went in and killed a whole bunch of worshippers and mixed their blood with the sacrifices. And everybody's like, wow, they must have been pretty evil for something to happen like that. And Jesus says, no, unless you repent, you will also die and perish. So we tend to think when really bad things happen to a lot of people, they must have been really bad. He says, no, don't worry, you'll also die. and then you will face the judgment. So the right way to respond now is to repent. Now, I've written quite extensively on that issue because it's very important for you to get that. Repentance is not regret, and repentance is not remorse. Regret is when you feel sorry for yourself for the consequences that you are going to suffer because you were stupid and sinful. That's regret. Remorse is when you are sorry that other people will suffer the consequences of your stupidity and sin. That's remorse. Good things, but that's not repentance. Repentance is when I'm sorry that God has suffered as my God and creator and provider for the way that I've lived my life. See the difference? Massive difference. Repentance is to say, I have offended God. I have not loved God. I have not thanked Him. I have not glorified Him. I have not been directed towards Him. And I am sorry for the pain I have caused you. And I realize that the only way for me to live is that I can't change myself, and I can't make new promises, and I can't work harder, and I'm not going to come more to church, and I'm not going to read more my Bible, because none of that will change the situation that I find myself in. Father, you must do something, and you have in your Son done what is needed for me to change. That's repentance. Massively important. I've offended God, and I've got to ask God to step in and to change that situation. Because I cannot change that situation. No matter how hard I try, and subsequently, it doesn't remove the error of my ways privately before that. You make sense? So that's what Jesus says. So the way in which you prepare yourself for this judgment is by repenting now. Whenever you become aware of anything in your life, in your thoughts, in your desires that is anti-God, you say, God, this offends you. Please will you, through your Son, remove this from me. That's how you prepare for the great day of judgment. Fantastic, isn't it? You can do it every time. That's what Jesus is saying. Repent. Come to me. And I will not only change the Father's heart towards you. That's what I've done. I've changed God the Father's heart towards you by taking the penalty of your sin. And I can change your heart to the Father by the Spirit that comes and lives in you. Isn't that amazing? That's what you call reconciliation. Two people changing their minds about one another and meeting, bam, in the middle. That's what Jesus has come to do. He's come to bring God to us and us to God. Bam. That's what you believe. That's repentance. All right? You still with me? We're going quick. See where he's going? He's saying, that's what you must do. And then again, he comes back and he tells a little parable about the tree and the fruit. And the owner wants to chop it down because there's no fruit. And the guy says, oh, just give it another year. And this is Jesus saying, you are now living on borrowed time. He's speaking here primarily to Israel. He says, watch out that you don't miss out now. Because the axe is laying at the root of the tree. And it's going to happen. So make sure you are ready to deal with it right now. Now is the time. You're living on borrowed time. That's really what he's saying. Israel, you're living on borrowed time. We know historically Israel's time ran out in AD 70 when God sent the Romans in and annihilated Israel. You are living on borrowed time. Make sure you repent in time. See what he's saying? He's driving home this thing of how important it is that you don't miss out. But verses 10 to verse 17 of chapter 13 tells us, no matter how long you have suffered by the delusions of your relationship with God, no matter how you've been suffering under the hands of Satan and confusion, Jesus Christ has come to set you free today. He's in the synagogue on a Sabbath. With all the stuff that the Sabbath was all about, God is going to bring rest to the world through redemption to set us free from the consequences of sin and the causes of sin. On that Sabbath, Jesus calls a woman forward to himself and he says, you are free. I fulfill the Sabbath. I am the one who can bring rest now as you come to me. I'm calling you now. For us, it's now. For them, it was that day. For us, it's now. No matter how you have lived for yourself, you can come to him right now. as you sit there in your chair. You don't have to wait for anything to happen. You don't have to jump through a couple of hoops. You can go in your heart, turn to him and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I recognize that you have come to call me now so that I may have life and that I may escape the judgment that is coming. I can know that now. I don't know if you have ever heard better news than that. Now, he says. Oh, this guy says, no, you can't come on the Sabbath because the Sabbath is for being religious. Jesus says, you're idiot, you're a hypocrite. You will take your jolly donkey and water it, but you will not let a human being find rest in God on the Sabbath day. You are wicked in your religion. Religion is a dangerous thing, guys. Don't become religious. Please, rather walk out and never come back, but don't become religious, because that will destroy you outright. If you have laws and regulations that you want others to keep, you better run now and just run and just never turn around. Because Jesus hates religious people more than he hates real sinners. Come to him and bring everybody else you know to him, not to your religion, not to your standards, not to your ethics. Bring them to Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Come to me now. Now is the time to do it. And then two parables very quick. Don't misread the signs of the times. The kingdom of God starts very insignificant. We are sitting here and we are talking. And it looks insignificant, doesn't it? Jesus was one man standing on the Sabbath, healing somebody. It looks insignificant. And he says, but this kingdom will grow out of proportion to its start. And all the birds of the air, which is another reference to all the nations of the world, will come and find their rest in me. When Jesus started out, he was one man. Today, 2.5 billion people claim to know and follow him. You think he's winning? Amazing. Do not misread what is happening right here this morning. It seems very insignificant, doesn't it? I mean, I'm standing here, I'm shouting at you. This is where the kingdom, as the word goes, the word about Christ goes out, the kingdom is being planted. And it will produce a tree that has got space for every single person in this world. Doesn't look amazing? And then it gets even more complicated. The next little parable is that he says this working happens unseeingly like yeast. I mean, anyone want to try and yeast 60 pounds of flour? That's 27 kilograms. Your bakers? She's saying, takes one little bit of yeast and you work it into the flour and you just wait. And that one little piece of yeast starts to... Can't see it. And it just keeps on going. And that's how God works in our hearts. It starts on the inside. You can't see it. You can't see it. You can't spot the Christian. Oh, that's a Christian. They all look the same. Inside, that word starts to transform from the inside out. Don't misjudge the significance of what's going on. That's what Jesus is saying. The time is now to be associated with the insignificant. And that will grow out of all proportion to the greatness. So can you judge the time right? Have you judged your day to day aright? Now is the time of salvation. For anything that you've done in the past that you're ashamed of, no matter how big it is or how small it is, Jesus Christ says to you, you bring it to me. Just listen to this, people. I can deal with the past. Can you deal with the past? Can you change it? Can you undo what you've done in the past? You think if you forget it, it's gone? Nope. It just means you forgot it. Jesus says, I can deal with the past. You bring your past to me, I'll deal with it. You bring your present to me, I'll deal with it. Wherever you are now, what are you afraid of now? Now, right now. He says, you bring that to me, and I tell you, I can deal with it. And I can deal with the future. What's going to happen with South Africa? You know who we want to go to? I mean, I think he's doing a good job, but Cyril does not have a hold on the future. Jesus says, I do. You worry about your children? Where will you take them? To a high institution. Give them a degree. You must be nuts. You give them Jesus Christ. He deals with the future today. He is the integration point of the past, the present, and the future. You come to him, he deals with everything. Today is the day of salvation. Do you know that? Has he cleansed all your sin? Has he gripped all your fears? Now go to him and give it to him. You are going to be like me. I'm going to take it back just now again. And that's okay. Well, then you just give it back to him. Lord Jesus, you tell me you can deal with life. I am not able to deal with life. Today is the day of salvation. That's what Jesus is saying in this section. Do not miss today. If you miss today, you may miss eternity. Come to me. I bring everything together. Isn't that good news? Isn't that the most amazing thing you've ever heard? Now, if you battle with that, great. So whatever I've said here this morning and you think you agree with or you don't think you agree with, that's fine. Do yourself a favor. Go and spend just 10 minutes somewhere. Go on your knees and you say to Jesus Christ, Jesus, Ludwig said all sorts of weird things this morning. All sorts of things I think I agree with. Will you write that on my heart? Because even if I know it, it's not on my heart. I can't get it there. The distance between my head and my heart is way too long for me to actually get to. I cannot get your word into my heart. Only you can. Will you please write your word on my heart? Because I can't do it. I agree with you if you do. And if you don't, well, ask him. Isn't that good news? Go to him. Sit with him. He is your salvation. He doesn't give salvation. He is your salvation. And when you're with him, you're saved. Isn't that good news? That's what Jesus is driving home in this passage. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are going to come to share in your blood and in your flesh for our salvation today. We're going to taste something, and it helps us sometimes, Lord, because sometimes this is so ephemeral, so in the up in the air, and we kind of wonder what the heck is this all about. Thank you that you've given us these very simple elements of bread and juice. So when we taste it, we recognize that you are the creator of all stuff. You love stuff. You love dirt. You love us. You've made us out of dirt. And you've blown your spirit into us so that we may have life and that we may know you and therefore may have eternal life. So Lord, as we come to your table, we come with maybe lots of confusion, lots of issues, lots of unresolved stuff, lots of fears, lots of anxieties, lots of... Lord, you know us. You know every single nook and cranny of our anatomical disposition. You know the atoms in us. You know the thoughts. You know the desires. You know our reasoning. And so we ask you that you will minister to us as we partake of the bread and the juice this morning. And by your Spirit, write the Lord Jesus Christ's life into our hearts as we come to you by faith. Thank you that you are our salvation. Thank you that you want to save all of us this morning. Some of us need to be saved from eternal damnation, and others of us need to be saved simply from our own plans, and others of the Lord need to be saved from our fear of the future plans. Save us, Lord, we pray today in Jesus' name.